Father, I thank you that we can come together, and as you have planned, and as Jesus has performed, Holy Spirit, as you come and apply. And I pray that this morning my word would continue what you have already been doing as you speak your word. Submit this word unto you, Lord. Let it be what you want to speak to your people. This is your church. These are your sheep. And we know that hell will not prevail against the church you build. Amen. Amen. So, we had Encounter One yesterday here. It was great. So we warmed up the venue for you. Yeah, it was a great privilege to spend some time here yesterday and just cover some ground that we sometimes cover once and we think we've covered it. And it's just good to go and re-look at what we, and in this part of the body, what we confess, what we believe, what we teach. So that was a great privilege for me. It was very exciting. I don't really know how to start this message. It's been floating around this week in my heart. It started a bit with a reprimand, but I'm starting to feel like it's coming to an encouragement. My wife is breathing a sigh of relief. So let me start with where I'm going. Luke chapter 6. If you brought your Bibles along, you can open at Luke chapter 6. My sermon this morning is called Still Standing. Still Standing, and it's not physically standing. I'm talking about a house this morning. So let's read first before I tell you a little bit about the conversation that maybe was a reprimand and has become an encouragement. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 49. This is Jesus at the end of this sermon. He says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, a stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Everybody up for the good news? Okay. How did I get to the scripture? I was having a conversation with the Lord. Has someone been to my house recently? Anyone? Okay. Maybe I should invite more people. So if you've been to my house, especially at night, you'll know there's a part of my house that's got permanent load shedding. There's a part of my house where in January we had rain, and I'm still talking to the insurance about it. So the rain came in somewhere, and there's a part of my house that it's standing, but we have to make another plan to have power there. Right. So that... I was in conversation with the Lord. He raised this for me, and he said, "Well, the house hasn't fallen, right? The storm came, the house didn't fall, but there is some storm damage. There's some storm damage." And sometimes we read this scripture and we think this house completely stood. I don't know about that, but what I know is that in our case, the storm that came, the house didn't fall, but now there is this continuing problem. And I want us to look at this, because Jesus says here, he says, if you, I will show you what he is like. He says, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So this morning, I'm talking about, let's dig deep and see, because there's some issues maybe, not. I don't think it's with my foundations, it's maybe with maintenance and my roof, but here's the thing, we need to, in life, we need to be digging deep and see, is this foundation on the rock, because when the storm comes, it will be tested. Okay, so, and what does Jesus talk about here? He says, Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them is a guy that digs deep before he lays the foundation. Is a guy that digs deep. So I'm going to look specifically in this sermon, just at one aspect. You can read the whole sermon. It's in Luke chapter 6. It's sort of a condensed version of the Sermon on the Mount. But I'm going to look at a portion of it, because I feel like if we follow these verses, it shows us how to dig down. So I'm going to look at verse 27 to start. We can read together. Let's just read it through quickly, because this is the challenge. We are in a time where storms will come more often. Okay, and we want to be digging deep and seeing whether what we are building is standing on what he taught, and we are doing it. So let's read together. Verse 27. But I say to you who hear, see, I'm working backwards a little bit. We'll work forward again. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Not sure I have that last part there. Yes, I do. Are you ready to dig? You got your spades out? You see, Jesus starts this with love your enemies. So this is the thing. Your enemy is someone you hate, right? That's the word enemy there. So Jesus starts with us. He says, love your enemies. Now, I don't feel like I have enemies, okay? I was like, Lord, I don't feel like I have enemies. He's like, is there someone you dislike? Because the greater includes the lesser. Is there someone you dislike? Maybe a work colleague. Yeah, maybe a family member who differs with you. Maybe that person you keep bumping into. There's someone you'd, what is that Christianese? I love them, but I don't like them. Where does that come from? Anyway, you see, Jesus is saying, make a choice to love sacrificially with your life those you may dislike. That's the first dig. We're starting there. Can you relate to that? Do good to those who hate you. So here he turns it around again. So now there are people who dislike you. So there are some people that dislike me. I'm not so aware of them because I don't run around trying to find out. I have heard maybe there are people who dislike me for various reasons. Oh, okay, I'm a lawyer as well. There's a good reason. Right, so there are people who dislike you. So Jesus says, do good to them. Do good to them. Very challenging. Do good to those who hate you. But now we dig further, because there are people that dislike you, but there are people that go further than disliking you. It's like they don't just not like your Facebook post. They actually comment on your Facebook post. Right? We're digging down. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. So this is a person that's actually gone so far as to verbalize their dislike of you. You see, the greater includes the lesser. So we have these conversations, and people express their opinion. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Now, this goes a bit further. This is a continuous, and we know there's verbal and there's physical abuse. So what Jesus isn't saying here is just be abused, but there is a situation where someone recurringly is doing the same thing, right? And we are experiencing that abuse. They keep on going. Pray for those who abuse you. We're going to dig a little deeper. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. So this person has gotten more, is bigger than words, it's gotten physical. Once again, what's Jesus talking about you? He's talking about retaliation. When you are struck, are you going to apply the fivefold ministry? Or do you move on? What are we supposed to do? Do you let it go? Is anyone enjoying this digging process? No. No, I didn't either. So we're just going to carry on. We're going to carry on. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. So your cloak keeps you warm. Your tunic keeps you clothed. So here's someone that actually exposes you. Right? There's maybe a break in trust. They've exposed you. There was a relationship. They expose you. This is not comfortable stuff. Jesus is talking about, okay, this is how we dig down to get to the foundation that is the rock. We go through this digging process. I've been exposed. Give to everyone who begs from you. Okay, we're going to turn a corner here. Gets a little bit better. Give to everyone who begs from you. You see, I was really thinking about this. What do we see Jesus do a lot with beggars? He gives them time. What can I do for you? Heals them. And there's this thing where we understand the Lord would give out alms because they ask, like, did maybe Judas go and give money away to the poor? So there was probably a culture in the ministry of giving alms. But here's the thing. The accounts we read is Jesus and beggars, he goes, he heals the blind. He heals the ones who come to him. So how is your time management when someone begs from you? Sometimes just giving the money is easier. And from someone who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And then the coup de grace. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. You see, Jesus wasn't misstating something here. The literal interpretation is already very devastating to me. But if we chew on this, we look at our lives and we go, woo! Like, I've got a lot of theology around not applying these verses. I've built a lot of things around excusing me from loving my enemy in a sacrificial way. I've built a lot of excuses around, you know, yeah, let's just leave it there. This is the message that the disciples heard. But it gets on, he goes on, and he says in verse 35, I'm going on ahead, he says, but love your enemies and do good, just to make sure they got that part. He repeats himself. And lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And here's the fascinating thing. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Right there in the middle is something for me. And you will be sons of the Most High. Jesus is saying this conduct is from a place. It's not to become sons. This is not a way to earn your sonship. I'm going to now run around, love my enemy, and let them strike me on the face. No, he says this conduct, this digging down to the rock, is from a place of sonship already. And how did we become sons? Well, we put our faith in this son. What he did is sufficient for what we did. You see, wait, I lost myself here. There we go. And you will be sons of the Most High. What did Jesus do? You see, when we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. That's Romans 5. When we were still weak, when we were still enemies of God. You see, Jesus is not giving a standard here that he does not fulfill himself. Because we can't do this in our own strength. But Jesus comes. And to his enemies, because here's the thing, we made ourselves enemies of God. We keep on disobeying how he says it's supposed to work. So he comes and he shows sacrificial love of his life, a choice he makes to obey the Father, sacrificial love of his life for his enemies. And then we have this reality that there are people who hated Jesus. They hated him. That's why they killed him. What does he do? He makes salvation available to all. He does good. You see, in Acts, Peter has this conversation and he says, well, you guys know what happened in Judea from the day that Jesus came and he did good to all. So Jesus does good to all. There were a lot of people cursing Jesus at his crucifixion. He did not revile them. They abused him. And he prayed for them. He said, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Jesus comes and he fulfills this teaching. They struck him and he did not retaliate. They took not just his cloak, they took everything. Everything. Naked on the cross. He fulfilled his teaching. You see, if we read these scriptures and we try and apply it in order to become sons, we miss the point that the Son has already performed this work. He has already fulfilled this work. So that by faith in him, we can be credited with his record of having dug down deep to this foundation. We can have that record. And then we can say, Lord, lead me in how to sacrifice for my enemy, the one I dislike. Because we become sons and daughters because of what he's done. Like him. He is the Son. By faith in him, we are adopted. I want to go to John 1:12. It's not up there. But this is what we read in John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, but all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus' heart is that we would see him as the fulfillment of what we could not do, put our faith in him, get credited with his righteousness, so that we end up with a house that will withstand when the storm comes. Why does he want that for us? Well, firstly, he wants you to be in a house that is safe. That's his heart for you. But secondly, everyone else who has a house not built on him, they are going to suffer loss. Your neighbor's house is going to be destroyed, if I can put it that way. Jesus wants there to be a house standing after the storm. Because he came to save that which was lost. So for us, I know this is very challenging. This is these verses really challenged me this week just to go and see again what's going on in my heart, in the rooms of my house, in my heart, what is going on with these relationships, these interactions I have. Am I living sacrificial love? Am I doing good? Am I blessing instead of cursing? Am I praying? Am I letting it go? Am I letting it be? Am I willing to give my time? Am I willing to let my things be taken from me so that when the storm comes, the house stands and there will be a home for that person who took from me? See, I don't know what your engineering report says of the house that you're living in. I don't know what the assessor this morning has assessed about your house. I know one thing. The Lord wants your house to remain standing, and His heart is for you to be built on His words. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 5, we have Paul giving the explanation of why going to read it for us. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even if they were your enemy. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Can we put that picture up at the end? This is what the ministry of reconciliation looks like after a storm. At the end of my slides, am I going to get there? Maybe it's not working now. There we go. You see, when we put our faith in the Son, we become that house. So when the storm happens to everyone around us, they have a place to go. That's God's heart. For us to have a place, for them to have a place. Will you stand with me? It's a very simple message this morning. It's a very simple message this morning. We are here because we want to hear the words of the Lord Jesus. We want to have that report come out and know beforehand, before the storm comes, where we have not built on the rock. I don't know where you are, where your assessment of your house is this morning. I don't know if this made any sense to you. But it was born out of a place of a warning. Where God said to me, look, this house is young. And many people speak well of us. I don't know if you know. But there will come a time when many people will not always speak well of us. And when that storm comes, you need to know where you have built. What you believe. Is it because someone posted it on Facebook? Or is it what Jesus taught? That's God's heart for us. That when the criticism comes, we can respond by saying, well, all I'm trying to do is do what the Lord said. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you that you are faithful. That you are good, you are kind, you are merciful. And that as your children, we can look upon your character as you beckon us to come near so that you can transform us into the image of your Son. For the world around us and for our own sake. And I pray, Father, where we may have dug down now and discovered the absence of a rock to build on, that we would rethink that plan to build that portion. That we would revisit and say, well, I can't build there in that way. And I don't know what that looks like in your life. But I pray that you would be obedient and trust the Lord Jesus to come and apply what he has done in your house. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. We're going to end off the sermon now, the service. You are welcome to have some coffee at the back. Please hang around for some fellowship. But I would like to just extend an invitation to invite you to the front if you have done the assessment today and realize that perhaps in one area or another, I have not been building on the rock. If the sermon today has exposed something in our hearts, and needless to say, this is not about remaining in an abusive relationship or anything like that, but it's about the condition of our hearts when people do not speak well of us. When the storms and the times of adversity come, what are we building on? What is going to come out from the foundations of our heart? So I really want to extend an invitation. Take some time, hang around a bit. Let's linger in the Lord's presence and let's ask him and be honest with him and with ourselves about what is going on in our hearts, what's going on in the rooms of our heart. And if we need to bring something before him, let's take the time to do that. There will be people in the front. If you feel like you need some prayer, we'll hang around a bit. And for the rest of us, well, we're dismissing the service. You're welcome to come have some coffee, have some fellowship. Please remember about the baptism. We want to invite everyone, even if you're not getting baptized today, please, you're welcome to come and support. We'll be there at 11:45 at the slipway at the Palmit River. Thank you, guys.